Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song, or the fragrance for men.
Four games which can make or break the whole season, Rob Nichols.
Yes.
Four games.
No.
We have not four candles. Ronnie Snatch back before Thomas Bartley's time was actually there, but YouTube it, four candles. But four games. Bristol City.
Yeah.
Derby County.
Mm.
Millwall.
Yes.
And Ipswich. Without Mick McCarthy, of course.
Absolutely, yes.
So Mick's
not waiting to the end of the season.
Exactly.
Yes. It's the last time we did a podcast, Thomas and myself, it was a case of we were in sixth place and we just
and looking had ahead to a victory against Nottingham Forest,
which we did, eh?
Exactly, we're correct. Well done, Thomas.
I wasn't correct, although I predicted 1-1.
But
it might have been the blessing in disguise in a way, in that I'm always tend to be wrong with predictions, and that led us to victory.
Right.
If anything.
Well, there we are. Yes, I'd gone for a 3-0. It was 2-0. I mean, it did seem to be a fairly substantial scenario, and lots of real positive feedback from that. I mean, the general feeling amongst the fans that I was getting on social media, social channels, etc., was, you know, destiny's in our hands. Just keep on going. Don't worry about Millwall's tendency to actually go and start really scoring left, right, and centre, building things together.
Yes, I think so. I think people were, like Thomas, were a bit concerned about the idea of an Aitor anchor team coming up against a Tony Pulis team, that it would be a very cagey affair, and that Aitor would be tactically on the game. He'd be really wanting to make a statement coming back to the Riverside. But actually, we coasted the first half, going 2-0. Danny Ayala's our big scorer at the moment. And then Stuart Downing, I think we might have mentioned.
Exactly, he can't score. Suddenly, bang.
His right foot.
Precisely.
Yes.
Indeed, a little indication, I think, to Mr. Karanka that he actually can do that.
So. I think so. Yeah. I think maybe from both of those players, because remember, Danny Ayala hardly featured in the Premier League at all. Mm. But and then the second half was a case of coasting. So we were able to hold on to the 2-0 lead. We should have got more. We should have got your 3-0 at the end, because Britta Sombolonga missed a couple of good chances. So it looked good.
Looking good to head down to Sheffield to actually think, well, you know, they've had a fine season, Sheffield United, but when all said and done, it's time they actually realised, droit de seigneur, it's time to actually sort of step to one side. And Grant Leadbitter, don't take two for the team. One for the team, yes, but not two.
Well, I thought going into that match, conversations just before, was, for me, the pressure was on Sheffield United, because a draw might have been good enough to keep the ball rolling for us. Sheffield United really needed to win, and they scored with an amazing volley after about 2 minutes. That it was a tremendous goal, but in any like 9 out of 10 times it would have gone over the top of the stand, and that stand is quite high. It just hit it absolutely perfectly, and it was from that moment you're on the back foot.
Exocet missile, I believe is the phrase.
Yeah, I think about the Leadbitter, the first foul we've seen him commit. Time and time again, he commits that. He went in for a header. The ball bounced higher than he thought, and he pulled back the man, and he gets a professional foul. And he's done that many, many, many times. He picks up the yellow. The second foul for me was a very innocuous chip on a player. And yeah, you shouldn't put yourself in that position and give the referee a chance. But I thought it was an incredibly harsh red card.
Of course, going up against any side with just 10 men, unless you're Wolves, in which case you can cope with 9, it's always going to be a bit of a challenge.
They were better than us with 11. They looked as if they had an extra player on the pitch anyway, and they were totally overrunning us in that first half. To go in at the break just 2-0 down and 10 men, we were lucky. And I sort of texted and stuff at half time that if we could keep 10 men on the pitch and that we could keep it down at 2-0, then we'd get out of here and go again for the next match. But actually, we did something a lot better, that we totally rearranged the team, 3 substitutions, and really fought till the end and gave Sheffield United a scare. And so we actually brought a positive out of that game, in that we could fight back, and we could change things. And that's what we've got to cling to now, because we're no longer in sixth.
Thomas, we've talked about false dawns. As a Borough fan, you must appreciate false dawn is part of the actual package. You know, it's a way you devastated by the Sheffield United result? Did you sort of think, well, now it's no longer in our own hands? Or you, it was even worse, Millwall winning, of course, and going 2 points ahead and so on?
Well, I mean, I think it's just such a difficult situation. It does remind me at points of last season, in that we had games against teams like Hull, Swansea towards the end of the season, which we knew were crunch games, and we just never seemed to... I mean, we either threw it away very early. The Hull game was... Yeah. Catastrophic, to say the least. It was, yeah. So, I was disappointed, especially in that on Saturday, we never really got out of first gear. We never seemed to be that much better than Nottingham Forest. However, Nottingham Forest didn't play very well at all on Saturday, I didn't think. So I was hoping that we might have that extra... I didn't think that he was in any way resting the players for Tuesday, but I just thought maybe we might have that extra bite, that extra... Notch on.
Well, again, certainly with the exception of Ipswich, all three of the upcoming sides are competitors.
Yeah.
In that mini league that's basically looking to get sixth place.
And Bristol City have a phenomenal record at the Riverside. I can't remember us beating them. I'm going back looking at the last three managers, really. Was it Mowbray's first game against Bristol City, or was it Strachan's, or is it? We lost games against Bristol City where they were nowhere in the table, but this time they are. So that might be.
They were the only team actually to do the double over, as weren't they, in the promotion season?
Yeah.
Because we lost at home to them at the end of August.
So they've been our bogey team.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting time. We're going to talk about Bristol, we're going to talk about Derby County, because this particular podcast will be released after the Bristol City game has actually taken place. So if you're listening to it live, well done. You're in the James Cook University Hospital, and you're getting a special exclusive on this particular aspect, because the podcast will be released afterwards, because we need to just gather our thoughts, gather our things, and again, look ahead to the away match against Derby County, and of course the home game against Millwall. Coming up in the programme... Still, we'll be having Jenny Finch's critique of a piece of Thomas Bartley writing. We've also got a range of other sort of factors that will be coming through, including how actually it's not all over till the somewhat obese soul begins to start chanting various sort of things and so on and so forth. All this and more on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast, a companion for the Bristol City and Derby County games.
In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit manilapr.com now.
That lass on Radio 4, who's sort of Charlotte Green, she's got nothing on me. Do you look into their eyes, Ian, or is that too personal a question? You don't want to go into this.
What would you be shouting at the television screen, Ian Lennox?
I can't proofread that.
But there is a slight suggestion that next season might be better.
Let's hope so.
No one seems to get a penalty for pulling shirts nowadays, or hardly ever.
Or Seven Simple Seasons.
See what we did there? Yes, like it.
Fly Me to the Moon, the audio podcast companion with Rob Nichols.
Strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium, 245
grams of magnesium, 1 tablespoon.
Remember, any more than 1 tablespoon could kill you. Any less than 1 tablespoon could kill you.
Right, what was
and
the recipe?
That's the recipe.
Oh,
if you would like a more simple solution, you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondence from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
There is still very much room for improvement, and I once again go back to the first words I uttered at the start of this piece. Consistency is the key to promotion, and if we can gather a run, especially considering three of the next four at home, then we will almost undoubtedly improve our chances of automatic promotion hugely. Not my words, the words of Thomas Bartley in an edition of Fly Me to the Moon, which was the Derby County edition, issue 580. Jenny, of course, you have got the more up-to-date version of Thomas's latest opus, and we always like children... Sorry, I'll rephrase that. We were like young adults who can actually write, even though they're slightly older than Generation Z. I just sort of found it. Generation Z plus one. What have you made as a professional writer of Thomas's contributions to the awesome Fly Me to the Moon?
It's very nicely written. It's very nicely constructed. It has both narrative and fact. And it's a good read. It flows very nicely. You have talent, young man.
Thank you very much.
And as a regular contributor to the Darlington and Stockton Times, and indeed freelance journalist yourself, you know of what you speak, so well done.
Thank you.
Splendid. Because the other thing is, Thomas doesn't just write, Jenny. You know, he also helps Rob distribute these magazines.
Now that is awesome. Yes. In the fog and the rain and the wind and the cold.
Well, I actually do it in the constraints of Rob's house, enveloping them up.
Yeah.
But still, as much a part of the
process.
Critical, put the other thing there.
Yeah. Well done, you.
And you're not responsible for Rob's injury, of course, which he's been sort of limping along with from that point. To let people know that halfway through the process of Fly Me to the Moon's current podcast, and remind you that Rob has been in not so much pain, but what did you do, Rob? Was it an injury? I mean, is this going to be the start of the comeback? Is this the end of everything? I mean, is it
like, no, not the end of everything. I hope it's the start. No, I injured my knee at the start of last year, and it takes quite a while to get diagnosis and things, so I was limping for most of the year, and then eventually I've got a torn meniscus, which is the cartilage in your knee, so I got some surgery this week after trying to avoid surgery. In the end, I got surgery.
We are. So it's not cruciate ligament, as in gastroin and so on.
No. It's a
Paul Lake, of course.
Yeah, it's a complex tear of the meniscus with holes in it as well. So just, you know.
Well, you know, let's face it, you don't get many podcasts that can actually sort of bowl that out at individuals in terms of raising the profile through. Okay, so
yeah,
we've already shared some of the sort of views with respect to Bristol City. Jenny, you've been listening to the lads talk, so to speak. Thoughts? I mean, I know you're mostly a rugby fan, but then again, England's had their own problems with respect to rugby and Eddie Jones, and a variety of other sort of factors, so that's not been great. I mean, we didn't get the wooden spoon, but only just.
It was a close run thing. That was a bit of a disaster. We didn't see that coming. Yeah, yes,
precisely. So, allowing for the fact that you can hardly turn around and say, "Well, Tony Pulis is Welsh; she should have some passionate sort of line with the Jones, etc." Is it a lost cause, or is it a case of, I mean, and also I'm conscious of the fact that you have family who aren't too far away from Millwall.
Millwall have always been the bete noire within the family. Mm. My father was an Arsenal fan, living in the middle of West Ham country. So we are tough. We always have been.
Exactly.
As far as Borough's challenge is concerned, mathematically it's not over. But as you say, it's no longer in their hands. They have to go out, they have to score as much as they can because their goal difference is against them at the moment. And they really have to make the most of home field advantage and travel well on the road. I mean, that's obvious, but they just have to either go for it or pull back, lick their wounds and rebuild in advance for next season.
Are
they ready for the Premier League at this point, though?
I think a lot of people would say that if we fail this challenge, then it's quite clear we're not good enough. I don't think we'll cry about that. And I think a lot of people would say that for Tony Pulis to have a pre-season and a chance to build a side that he wants to is probably, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world. But for me, we need to make sure that we're in a position when we go into play Millwall that if we beat them, we leapfrog them.
Yes.
And that we're there, therefore we can go into the Ipswich match with a possibility. It's going to be a win now, probably. If we can beat the post Mick McCarthy Ipswich, we need to be in it in that last match. So we've got to pick up enough points that beating Millwall knocks them down.
Yeah.
At least we've got that opportunity.
Yes.
It's always frustrating looking back in hindsight, but we look at the 1-1 draw against Brentford, clearly the Wolves defeat, the draw against Burton Albion.
Oh, dear.
All frustrations. And as I say, it literally is, I suppose, win or bust. Here is that classic line.
We've not beaten anybody all season that's been ahead of us in the league, have we, Thomas?
No, certainly not in the first half of the season. When that game at Derby at home was especially...
Yeah,
gutting. I think we were 3-0 down at half time, weren't we?
And yet we couldn't believe that we were, could we? Because we were much the better team. Mm-hmm. But we've lost to the teams above us. We've lost every single game at home. Not even we've lost it to the top. So the top four. So we've not even drawn them. So I think
Didn't
that tells you a lot.
Aston Villa.
They weren't in that when they were. I mean, the teams that were
actually below us at that stage.
All right,
Okay, so as this is going out after we'll know the result of the Bristol City, as we pointed out, and we've got Derby County away. As we said, Rob, there are lots of friendship connections with Derby County. Of course, interesting tenuous link, given that the manager of Derby County was in charge of Birmingham back in the day, obviously Derby follow the same sort of pattern that Birmingham actually had. Then obviously he'll be asked to leave, presumably Gary Wright.
There's always a lot of pressure on Derby, as in Forest managers as well. They don't usually get a second season.
They lost to Wolves. Wolves, I think it's fair to say, are probably champions elect now when it comes to the championship. Cardiff look as though they're in free fall and could well actually spiral downwards.
Missing those penalties against Wolves.
Which leaves Fulham as a possible automatic promotion side of things.
Strong.
And then, as I say, that clutch of teams, which effectively comprise Aston Villa, which look as though they probably will be in there. Obviously, we have the it's Derby, Bristol City, and of course Millwall, hopefully.
Yeah, Millwall have really steamed in.
Yeah, I mean, that Steve Harrison, given that... You know, people are talking about manager of the season, which I go...
Or Neil Harris.
Neil Harris, exactly. Neil Harris... extraordinarily well from that point of view. It's not going to be an easy game, even allowing for whatever happens at Derby County. Neither is Derby County. Are we confident, though, that actually going to Derby County, and it's not they'll go to the baseball ground. I don't know why I thought that hasn't been the baseball ground.
No, Pride Park.
Pride Park, exactly. Going to Pride
Park. It's still it's like the baseball ground in that it can be a really sort of difficult atmosphere. And
the stadium's very similar build to the Riverside isn't it?
It's the same, really, yeah.
And
they put heating in their concourses, or they're putting heating, so they're often a bit softer there.
Yes.
East Midlands, very soft. Yeah. Exactly. Apart from Lincoln City, the whole place is very, very soft. Thomas, what's the feeling in St. Peter's with your fellow pupils and students, etc.? I mean, you must get a vibe on this, because when I was teaching, you tend to get a feel in terms of how Barrow were actually doing over the weekend. Is it a case of, it's all right, don't worry, we will smash Bristol City and Derby County and Millwall, or is it a case of, I don't know.
If people haven't become disinterested at this point, then they're certainly not optimistic about the future, shall we say. There's certainly a few people, you know, that would like to think we could get promotion this season, but I think... like you and Rob were both saying, it is a very difficult situation in that we know if we do go up, we're going to be thrusted straight into the Premier League.
It's a bit like being a Man City fan when you're 3-0 down the first leg. And there's that the hope that kills you. You score in the first 2 minutes and then just you could get a second that's disallowed and you think it's just not going to work through that basis. Okay, we can only hope for the best.
Yeah, absolutely. We're still in it, aren't we?
Exactly.
It's still going to be interesting. Let's stay in it after Saturday. Let's make sure that... That when people are listening to this afterwards, that they know that
those Robins have clearly lost their way.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Lee Johnson, brave team though they actually had.
Yeah.
Even though they were one of the few sides to actually again get a point, come very close to actually putting City out in the semi-finals of the League Cup. Who knows what?
Let's start beating the teams around us and above us, and then we deserve to be in it. Really.
And obviously the critical thing is, does that mean we've actually got two more Flying with the Moon podcasts or three before? Ooh. Who knows? Because obviously if they
are
there, we will be having them. Inevitably we'll be having the roundup of the season as well, plus we'll be talking a bit more about the thing that's taking place, I believe, in Moscow and surrounding areas over the summer, which we'll be sort of addressing. Finally, in terms of Borough's progression and lines for the system, yep. Player of the season, is it going to be anybody other than Mr. Traore?
What do you reckon, Thomas? I mean, the second half of the season, Traore has been absolutely brilliant.
I would say no. I think because, especially since Pulis has come, it just seems like a totally different player. I mean, the fact that he started scoring is huge for the club, I think, because, I mean, last year... Headless chicken got thrown around a lot, didn't it, in terms of describing his playing style.
And now he wears the chicken on
style.
His head.
He does indeed, he does, yeah.
Sorry.
He's certainly a lot more,
Wearing that pineapple, as
well,
we said.
For the last month, he was nominated, and also Patrick Bamford for Player of the Month, for the Championship Player of the Month. So we should mention Patrick Bamford. Yeah. I thought there was a period of the season where Stuart Downing was a cut above. He gets a lot of stick, but I thought for a period he was. But then you might look and think...
Grant led better, let's face it.
Well, no, but I was going to say, is there a player that's been... We're talking about Traore, the last part of the season, down in the middle. Is there a player throughout? And there probably isn't, and that's probably why we're in the position that we're in.
Yeah. George Friend seems to be getting a lot of stick these days. Deserved, or just a case of, well, you know, he's just not quite in a rich vein of form?
No, I think I think he's sort of really, really trying and really trying to push on. And when you try and push on as a fullback, you're going to get caught out. Yeah. He's trying to do more than his position. He's trying to influence games. That's what I think.
Yeah. But nobody has manifested the same sort of notion as last season, Rob, when you referred to the biggest villain as being Gaston Ramirez.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, yeah. Gaston had it in his arms or in his feet or whatever to do something.
Where is he now, by the way? Where's he gone?
Did he go back to Italy? Or was he,
I think so.
You've seen Gaston Ramirez, let us know.
He's still trying to...
find a football?
Reinforce his marriage, I think, after that little... Marital affair. Oh, extramarital affair, should I say.
Allegedly. Well done. Yes, I could be very aware of that, Thomas, because I have no need to what could happen with respect to that. Okay, Rob, how can people get hold of the back issues of Fly Me to the Moon and obviously the single paper edition that we look forward to, which is clearly going to be Millwall in a few weeks' time?
If you go to the website, fmttm.com, and you better not click on subscribe, but because somebody did actually, Alex, somebody subscribed last match. It was really, really odd.
For next season?
It's my email address is robshrug@gmail.com. That's probably the best way to contact me.
Excellent. Thomas, it's been a delight featuring you again. Second particular piece, were you actually given special permission to actually not be in St. Peter's today to actually be with the...
I'm still off this week.
Oh.
So, nice. Yeah, I made the difficult second appearance, but if I may mention, as many bands suffer from the second album syndrome, which Rob's band Shrug really mastered...
Well
this
done.
With their new album,
good
if I can slip
that
one. No, a 29-year gap. You're saying that's a long gap?
Has the album been released, Rob?
It's launched today. So that was quite timely, Thomas.
How fitting.
You haven't sent us any music along to actually have that musical outfit for the whole thing.
I will do.
Yeah, exactly. Jenny, what can you say? Shrug, after 29 years, another musical entry.
Obviously a very, very thoughtful album.
Yes, that's right.
Well worked through.
No point rushing things.
Album of the month. Could we?
I think we'll definitely look to put that together. This has been Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast, looking kind of at the state of play with respect to Middlesbrough. I haven't asked for any predictions because what's the point? It'll just work our way through that. But interesting times.
Yeah, indeed.
Say. That'll be what will be happening. Thanks to Thomas Bartley and Jenny Finch and Rob Nichols. What do we finish off with? With those seven final words? A one, a two, a three?
Come on, Borough. Up the Borough.
Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song, or the fragrance for men.